what do I say about Frances? She's like a luxury god. So it'll be interesting once she introduces herself. And then, of course, we have Sarah Karan Usher, who, God, again, retail god. I don't know where to even begin with Sarah. And then, of course, to my right, we have Maria Di Callo, creative director of Aspinall of London. She will, of course, introduce herself, but she's done incredible, incredible work. And then, of course, our beautiful Lily Leibel, who is the creative director of Entourage Collection. And I'm going to let the ladies tell you more about yourself. But once again, thank you all for joining us. And I hope you enjoy this conversation. So they'll just go one by one to introduce themselves and tell you a little bit about what they do.
I think this is working. As the oldest on the panel, I would like to say that we're retail designers in the luxury market, and we started our company in 1983, and we've worked with some amazing brands over the years, and we do a lot of in-store furniture. Do strategy, branding, rebranding. And the fun part has been working with brands over and over again and seeing how they move forward. Thank you.
Gosh, that was quick, love. So it was the second oldest. Frances Card, I am a consultant to mostly the fashion business, but I have worked for people like Haston, so you might know are the most expensive beds in the world. Used to actually be a non-exec director of my wardrobe that Miss Wonderful Gorgeous Curran owned at that time. But what I basically do is I'm a solution finder, and I find solutions in whatever a business needs. And that goes right across the spectrum. So it literally does everything. The only thing I can't do is I can't draw. I can't design. All that bit's a bit rubbish. But I can source fabrics, and I can source stuff and things like that. So yeah, in a nutshell, that's what I do. And I've worked with people, and I'm still working with people like Farfetch, Harvey Nichols, Liberty. Some of those, well, the Liberty role was actually when I was working without being a consultant. But yeah, no, lots and lots of so many interesting things. And it's so brilliant to know people. And on the panel, I know pretty much everybody. So that's good. And I think I've got a third of the audience here. Did you notice that? I think I get an accolade for the fact that I've got some gorgeous people there who I think should introduce themselves later on. Right, I'll mostly be quiet then. I over communicate.
I'm definitely an under communicator, so you can have my airtime. So Sarah Curran, I've been in retail for nearly 20 years, very much focused on digital since 2005, where I launched my wardrobe, which was the second of its kind in terms of a pure play. And I am now working for a US tech and data business as MD for EMEA, focused on size and fit into fashion and apparel and sports. Sit on the sort of board of French Connection, and yeah, love the industry and love the people. Thank you.
My name is Maria Di Callo. I'm creative director of Aspinall of London, and mainly I work with my creative team designing handbags for you. And Aspinall have flagship store in Regent Street, and also we in Harrods and in Selfridges. And beautiful store online as well, so you all, I'm sure you're welcome to visit and order all your Christmas gifts just in advance to remind. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lily Leibel. I'm the creative director of Entourage Collection. I founded Entourage over 11 years ago with my husband, and we are a group of companies consisting of an events company, concierge, travel and projects. And we have our headquarters in London. We have an office in Hong Kong. Actually, I can announce it publicly for the first time. We're opening in New York next summer. So that's exciting news. Special announcement for you. Basically, we're just at the nexus between private clients and brands. So we do strategy and consulting with brands, work with private clients all over the world. Really, every day, every week is a different project from, you know, we've produced films, work with Manolo Blahnik, to we're doing a big food tech project in Asia that's going to go west shortly. Every day, something different.
Well, thank you so much. And actually, many of these women, I think all of them actually are featured in our in the magazine, of course. So if there's anything else that you'd like to know about them, you can listen in to maybe one of their podcast episodes or, you know, read an article about them. You know, they've got really, really incredible stories. And what we're going to do now is we're just going to be delving into some questions on luxury, specifically for each of the women. My first actually is for yourself, Sarah. And being that your focus now is, you know, specifically within, you know, size and fit, how do brands master this now without being reliant on brick and mortar stores?
Thank you. So it's really interesting. Before last year, I'm not going to refer to it by name because I think we're all sick of it.
Yes.
I know, don't worry, it wasn't a big deal. We found that very much the retailers and the brands were quite slow to adopt digital, particularly those within luxury, particularly those that were so used to physical stores. And then particularly with the closures of many of the stores globally, they then had to move over to sort of digital and their digital flagships. What then transpired is essentially 10 years of acceleration growth within about 3 months. So we've turned from an industry that was valued at $2 trillion in sort of 12, 18 months, that grew by approximately $400 billion. Is due to grow again by about 800 billion. However, the customers are really sort of digital adopters. Brands very slow because for them it's very hard to translate the in-store luxury experience into what they see as that sort of digital experience. Now we know it's possible because you look at, you know, Net, and a lot of brands that have really been focused. I think the issue is how do brands really allow and remove consideration for many of their customers? And one of those huge consideration points and an obstacle, therefore, is around size. And we know that particularly within the fashion industry, from a ready-to-wear perspective, you know, looking at Italian brands and French brands, they do tend to come up small. And that becomes very complicated when you're looking at a US market who tend to average larger or an Asian market who tend to average smaller and the European a little bit in between. So the industry is very, very slow to adopt. They want creative control from an aesthetic perspective. So sometimes they're quite slow to bring in solutions that are third party because, you know, they worry about, is it on brand, all these sorts of things, which should no longer be the reason why not to do something. If there's a reason, if there's a challenge, if there's a consideration, and size is very much one of those that prohibits or can thwart the, you know, the end result, which is online purchase, the retailers and brands should be doing anything they can to really sort of support the customer rather than leaving it for the customer to solve themselves. But, you know, the great thing is that we've got some amazing growth still predicted. The brands still, you know, are probably, they're realizing now that they're very much, on the back foot.
Amazing. Thank you. And Jules, you're on the other side of this, of course. Your global company tells
the brand story of these big, big companies and brands. So on that side, has it changed a lot in terms of what brands and businesses want in terms of what you deliver, what your company delivers?
We haven't seen a big change so far. I think people want more space within a store because they want the staff who are now almost like key workers. They need to be looked after. They need to be protected. They need space now for cleaning and making sure that everything's comfortable for them and the customer. So I think space will always be an issue in that way. They want to be very sure about the space they're being given. But I think generally, no. I think as long as there's room for the things they had before, and it's a community where people feel they belong when they come in, they're very pleased to be coming back into store and be people to say hello. And I think that's the really exciting thing that everybody's finding.
Yeah. Amazing, that's very true. And Francis, of course, you are a consultant for so many luxury businesses and brands. What do you think, or what do you believe is the main focus of many businesses now?
Well, I think it's really interesting because, you know, obviously everybody has to make a profit. So that sort of is the end game. But the change has been dramatic. In terms of the way we do that. So sustainability is huge. Mindfulness is huge. Theatre, I mean, I don't know if everybody in the audience saw all the dresses at the Met Gala, but I don't even know how they got those people into seats because they were just wearing the most outrageous and huge and gorgeous and fabulous stuff. So there's a real change in focus on how, and that's not just physical stores, that is actually online as well, that it has to be so much more inclusive of the customer, but also so much, you have to work harder. Yeah. You jolly well have to work harder. You can be Chanel, and isn't that great? But you know what? You've really got to work hard to be Chanel. You can't just be Chanel. And I think that from the people that I'm talking to at the moment and the people that I'm working with, it is so much more about trying to get an end game that obviously makes a profit because that's exactly what you're doing, but does have a meaningful message. It has an inclusive message. It listens to its customers. Ambassadors are huge. The whole ambassador concept is enormous, and those ambassadors have to be it's somebody that doesn't have to necessarily be a celebrity. It just has to be somebody that has the right profile, and the right profile can be somebody just that is nice. Who knew? Who knew? We have nice people in the world. But I think that's really interesting. And the vintage recycling, I'll shut up in a minute. The vintage and recycling of our clothes is enormous. I mean, Selfridges here are doing a wonderful job, and you probably know they've got, and I'm not working for them, by the way, but they have wedding dresses that are recycled. And I think that's wonderful because you've not only got the wedding dress, but you've got the memories that somebody else had. And there's something, I don't know, after everything we've been through in that place that we're not allowed to talk about, I think there's something quite awesome about that, isn't it?
I agree. And I think this panel is really interesting because you're all in, you know, different areas. And of course, to my right, I have the beautiful Maria, who actually designs the product. So being that you do, you know, design the product, what is your creative process in, you know, putting that together and, you know, thinking about what that customer wants now?
Well, in my creative process, I love surrounding myself with my creative team.
Yeah.
And we always bring and share everything what we love, like fashion magazines, leathers, watches, fabrics, like vintage bags. And then depending on the season, we work on inspiration boards. It's like storyboards, inspirational board, the laser board, the color boards. And then we do the boards with the styles of the handbags. And I love drawing also the handbags in real size. So I can see all the proportions of the bag, the hand, the proportion of the handle to the body of the bag, the detailing. So to up to millimeter, I can perfect it, which is, and then we put together like measurements and comments and details, all the critiques, and send to the factory. And then another, my favorite way to design the bag, which for the many years traveling like around the world, and I always try to find vintage shops, and I always go and buy some vintage bags. So I have a big collection of vintage bags, and sometimes I, from one bag, I like the handle, another bag, I like the proportion of the body or the detail, the lock or the hardware. So I like cut them all together, cut the handle, cut the body, cut the, and everybody like, oh my God, what's she doing? She cutting all the bags. I was like, trust me, it's going to be like the best selling bag, like the new it bag. I was like, okay. So I stick everything together, like sellotape, or I don't know if you know, like gun glue now is really useful. and then of course I sketch it, the look and the comments, the measurement, and you send to the factory. And then the next, my favorite moment, when the prototype and the sample from the factory come back, and you're like, yes, it's perfect. Of course, sometimes it takes like 2 or 3 or 5 prototypes till you actually get it what you like expect, the final sample. And then, of course, recently, a year and a half, we couldn't go, like I didn't mention, like the COVID year. We couldn't go to like Milan and Paris Leather Fest, where you get all like not just inspiration, but like innovation, the new leather, the new, like, it's just like incredible to get all the new things. And we're like, oh my God, how are we going to bring the newness? What are we going to do? But that's when I rediscovered the Aspinall archive. And I opened the door to Aspinall archive, and which like was leathers of like beautifully stored by our production development team, and like unlocked. and it was like leather, hardware, and like fabrics, canvases, and which bring so much memories, like some of them like from 10 years ago, which like which never made, so basically the leather which never made to sampling or production. And I got like, oh my God, I want to live here, because suddenly you get like so many ideas or memories or stories. And so we're like cutting the leather, putting them in a like stories, the colors, the textures. So that's, I got too excited now. Yes, so my creative process, and then again, this is where actually from that moment, it was actually a very mindful year, because we could have like we stopped, we didn't travel, we had time to not develop and rush, we had time to think, to learn actually about our leather, what leather we use, what manufacturers. About how sustainable they are, and actually we was actually very proud, because most of the factory we work, it's 86% has a LWG certificate, which is, that's mean the way they produce the leather, the way they clean the water, the way they look after the employees, it's a very like they have all the certificates. And so from that moment, we also we develop our sustainable line collection, which we keep continuing. We've done already 3, and moving forward, we're working with the leather, which is metal free, carbon free. All the manufacture, we had the Zoom call with our amazing production director, product development director, with 60 manufacturers who was all willing to follow our Aspinall sustainable strategy, and yeah, because it's so important moving forward with the brand and the business. And yeah, so everybody was very excited to be on the journey, all our journey.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you. And Lily, being that you know, work with so many and across so many sectors, you know, what has there been change, and you know, what are most businesses and the brands that you work with now focusing on?
That's such a good question. I think, sort of from follow up what Maria was saying, I think it's the past year and a half has been a time of reflection and a chance to kind of slow down, kind of reassess, refocus what your strengths are and where you should be focusing. And I've seen a huge change in how marketing budgets are spent, definitely less kind of a broad stroke across the board and much more specific and focused who their actual target clients are for these brands. I've seen for us, I mean, I feel like there's kind of, when you have a business, you can either kind of two ways to go. You can either do like one thing really niche really well and you laser focus on that, or you diversify. And we certainly over the last 11 years plus have been more of the latter and diversifying. And I think as a business, that's super helpful in terms of, we haven't really changed so much, but we've been able to kind of allocate resources and put our focus on our companies that were more relevant or doing better. And so I think the change for brands, you know, we've seen a rise in doing things on Zoom, and I think that's here to stay, and virtual events. And what companies didn't realize is that doing that, they have such a more global outreach. I think, you know, for our clients, what I've seen, people are much more mindful of what they're buying, how they're buying, how often they're buying. They certainly still are buying very high-end luxury products, but maybe more things that are better investments. Like, we've seen a huge rise in art collecting and jewelry collecting and very limited edition pieces, bespoke pieces, things like that. And I think that the high level brands are seeing that. I think that the kind of the mid level has been harder hit, because those are the kind of just impulse purchases that when you're out and you're in the store, like, oh, that looks nice, I'm going to buy it. I think we all think, regardless of kind of what your spending power is, we kind of all question that now. So companies have had to change. I think, like, for fashion specifically, I think it's been a really good change, because personally, I think there's like way too many collections. Like, what is pre-fall? I have my summer clothes and I have my fall clothes, you know, and I think it's just too much stuff. And I think also it's really a lot of pressure on designers to constantly be recreating the wheel and constantly.
Yeah, we actually have quite a few designers in the room, so I think they can agree with you, actually. You
know, it's just too much, and like conspicuous consent. We don't need all of that. We don't need the pressure. So it's sort of like looking at what do I enjoy doing? What brings me joy? What do people really need? What do we want to spend our hard-earned dollars on? And addressing that market.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And I think I'm very interested to know, and I believe the audience will be too, what do you all believe that the future of luxury looks like? I know this might be a very long conversation, but maybe in few words, if we could say what we all, you know, see the future of luxury being like, and you can hone in on, you know, your own specialties and so on.
I think experience is the new luxury. I think people want to learn, they want to be informed, they want to be educated, and they want definitely to feel the community and that they're part of what's going on. So in store or out of store, definitely people have got so many, and stores have got so many opportunities and brands to make everything so much more memorable. And it doesn't have to be hugely flashy, it just needs to be something that's, they've learned, they've left knowing a little bit more, be it about sustainability or nature or whatever it is. Everybody can do something that teaches, let it be art or music or photography. Most brands can engage with photographers, artists, and literally give them a different experience to what they're doing.
I have a horrible feeling that's my phone. I'm sorry. Sorry, people. I can walk over there, but I'll just finish the question before I do. I think I didn't turn it off. Sorry, I do apologise. I think it is about a 360 experience. So I think that every brand, every store, every anything to do with the fashion industry, and I include in this factories, you know, anybody that it logistics, everything. It has to be a 360 experience, and it has to talk about, they all have to talk about the customer. The customer is key. That's it. The customer is key. But also that customer has to have the best experience in the world. And the thing that is not allowed to be mentioned, what happened, what has just happened. I think we have to, in the industry, I think we have to look at that. And so I would love every single brand that I know and I've worked with to have a site, a vintage site. I would love that. I'd love them to welcome it. I would love them to do that. I'd love them to expose their and to get them to get make their brands expose their operational lines of how they get it, where it is it sustainable, how are they looking after the people that make things for them, how do you get things into the country, which of course, thank you Brexit, that was really helpful. That was hugely helpful. Actually, it's helped me because I've earned some money out of it, but that's not fair, though. And then there's the whole thing about, you know, everything. So you take into consideration absolutely everything. You have the whole how a brand should enhance somebody's life, not by just wearing a piece of clothing or carrying the best bag. There has to be more than that, and I think there's enormous opportunities, and that's the sort of thing that I'm talking to people about. So designers here, hello designers here. I think it's about a 360. I take it all the way around.
Thank you. Yeah. So I agree with what you were saying before about that sort of conspicuous consumption. I think the many people, particularly last year, paused and were able to reflect on that mindless sort of purchase that we would just keep doing. And I think people now have designed, they want to focus on either health or the home, and rather than spending money on those, you know, the additional few hundred pounds per week or few thousand, you know, a month, whatever it might be, they're deciding to refocus that if they want to continue. And that might be, you know, within, you know, your home and buying more sort of art or creating your sort of sanctuary, because also the home has been so important to us all. I think also what's then going to happen is that divide between luxury and even going towards uber luxury is going to grow even further, because those high net worths who have become uber high net worths are going to want that little bit further distance in terms of what they're purchasing. So I think there's, you know, the next 5 years, the landscape is going to look really much kind of much more interesting, I think, than it has been, because people now put a real value in experience. They put a value on themselves and their home and their mental health, rightly so. And nature. So it's definitely, you know, that time of previous consumption, I think, is going to definitely have changed, and we won't be going back, which is great.
Yes, I agree that what everyone said, that to survive and to be more relevant in the fashion industry, all the brands need to shift towards sustainability, the way they maintain their businesses. And I believe that all the younger generation, because the younger generation will support more and more the brands which is sustainable. And also, I think online platforms is very important, because like what happened, I always go back, people more and more shop online. And I think it's important to make online platform more like online platform more inspirational, because everybody wants experience. Thank you.
Future of luxury. Well, I think we need a crystal ball, but you know, it's such an enigma. But I do agree, experiences for sure. We've been seeing that at Entourage for a long time now, when brands come and we bring the clients, and it's just offering them something different. You know, like you said, people want to learn, people want to meet each other at these events and experiences and network and socialize that way. I agree with, like, you know, Uber Lux, I think, is a new chapter, and that's just going to get more in terms of one-of-a-kind items, bespoke items, signed by the designer, you name it. Sustainability for sure. I think, you know, that's why there's been such a rise in vintage shopping, in secondhand stores, online and in person, you know, with luxury goods especially. That being said, I was just in Paris the past weekend. The Hermes store was like, you couldn't even get in. It was so packed. But for sure, you know, secondhand stuff is a huge new market. Yeah, I think it's just like people being more conscientious, more considerate, more aware of their own dollars, regardless of how little or how much that is. Yeah, and just, again, coming back to like, what brings you actual joy and happiness? What do you actually need? What do you want to wear day to day, see in your closet? Who do you want to spend your time with? And I think that brands are having to shift in so many ways, not just what they're producing or designing or selling, but also in terms of how they're marketing, what their ad campaigns look like. It needs to be more relatable. It needs to be more approachable, but also still, you know, inspirational and aspirational. We want to, you know, I see it as escapism as well. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but it's just sort of like leveling the playing field and kind of just coming back down to earth and reality a little bit as well at the same time. And just, you know, we don't need to be as crazy as with everything as we were before, and, you know, be considerate with your purchases and how you spend your money. And also, you know, what everyone said, and, you know, with Whitney here, you know, looking in your home, we spend so much more time in our homes. And I think that that's not going to go away, because I think that actually brought a lot of people happiness. And so, you know, buying beautiful flowers for your homes, buying beautiful table linens and table decor. I certainly have been doing that. And I think that's here to stay as well. And brands, you know, going out, branching out and becoming more lifestyle brands, I think that's a huge thing for the future of fashion, because, again, it's about diversifying. Like, yes, you could do one thing really well, and that's great, or you have beautiful clothes and people like your look and the aesthetic, or the person behind the brand, the creative director, whoever it is, they say, well, what else is she buying? What else is in her house? That's why, you know, we like to read articles like behind the scenes, like my morning routine or around my home. So it's that kind of like it's that 360 approach of, we want like everything that looks like that, but just maybe not find everything all at the same time every day.
Absolutely. And with that, we come to the end of our luxury panel. Thank you so much, ladies, Jules, Francis, Sarah, Maria, and of course, Lily. Thank you all so much. And then, of course, to those of you tuning in from home, our next panel will be our female founders. So join us in a couple of minutes.
Thank you.